While we are still standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon. All of those passages are tied together for this sermon. Text that will be a bit of our focus will be in Exodus chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 21 through 23. Exodus 4, 21 through 23. This is after the burning bush, after the Lord has commissioned Moses to go to Pharaoh for the release of his people. Moses has been in Midian. He has met a man named Jethro, married one of Jethro's daughters, a lady named Zipporah. They are married. Moses asks if he can return to Egypt to assist his brothers, the Hebrews. And the Lord said to Moses, "When you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn.'" Thus far the reading of God's Word, and all of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. This particular Advent series and into Christmas, we are looking at the idea, the theme, the reality of the firstborn in the Bible. The firstborn in the Bible. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus was Mary's firstborn child, literally born first. So we have seen that in the Bible, firstborn can be taken literally, born first. It also has a theological understanding. Firstborn means more than just born first. There's a preeminence, a priority, a supremacy, something special, particular about the firstborn. Firstborn can be understood literally and theologically, and sometimes both. We're in Exodus. If you were to say to most Christians, even anyone with a cursory understanding of the Bible, where would you encounter the firstborn in the Bible? They would likely go to the Exodus account. They would be thinking of the firstborn in the Exodus story. The children of Israel are in slavery, and Pharaoh's in charge. Let us consider how the Scriptures speak of Jesus. Let us consider our scriptural history. Pharaoh was targeting the children. He considered the children to be a threat to his throne and his kingdom. Pharaoh was targeting the children of Israel. He considered them to be a threat to his throne and kingdom. Pharaoh was killing children, particularly little boys. Pharaoh instituted his public policy of the slaughter of the innocents. Before there was weeping in Ramah in Jeremiah's day, there was weeping in Pithom and Ramses, cities in Egypt. Many years later, there would be weeping in another land, in Jerusalem and in Judea. That weeping would be due to another slaughter of the innocents, a slaughter of little ones, a slaughter of little boys. And it would occur under another, a different dictatorial leader, a different Pharaoh, this one named Herod, who considered some children to be a threat to his throne and his kingdom. The firstborn were involved in that slaughter under Pharaoh. The firstborn was involved in Herod's intended slaughter. Pharaoh, in his harsh cruelty, passed a law. Let it be written, let it be done. They are becoming too numerous. Any newborn baby boy was to be thrown into the river. Just cast him out. Pharaoh expected the waters of the Nile to be his waters of execution and judgment. Pharaoh did not know that the Lord who sees everything had appointed waters of execution and judgment for Pharaoh and Egypt as well. And that not long into his future. Pharaoh targeted the children, particularly the little boys. Any government, any land which did that or does this is a cursed government or land. Pharaoh appointed execution and misery, and upon his country additional miseries would fall like hail and lightning. He appointed a slaughter of little boys, and it was a swarm in the land, and he did not know that there would be a swarm like flies or gnats or locusts or frogs. He and they were convinced of their greatness. They spoke of their wealth, their accomplishments, and their international influence, yet they were blind to what was going on. A darkness would fall. To target the children reveals a cursed and miserable land, and more miseries would come. 10, to be precise. These would be measured out, counted out, counted down. 1, 2, 3. Pharaoh targeted the children. Pharaoh targeted the children of Israel. The Lord will target Pharaoh and the land of Egypt. So what does this have to do with the firstborn? Pharaoh was after the children, not necessarily the firstborn in the Hebrew families. He wanted any boy exterminated, thrown into the river. But Pharaoh targeted the children. Pharaoh was after the children of Israel. However, our text says, because the Lord says, that Israel, my people whom you are after, Pharaoh, they are my son, they are my firstborn. They have a special place, a prominent place, a place of preeminence. I love them. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, Moses, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my son. You're targeting the boys? You're throwing them into the river? Israel's my son. They're my firstborn. The Lord will destroy Egypt's firstborn through death because they are, hear this, guilty. The Lord will deliver his firstborn from death because they are beloved. The firstborn will die because of guilt. The firstborn will be delivered because they are loved. The Scriptures speak of Jesus, and we shall see this. It all started with water, and it will, in a sense, end with water, and our Lord is pleased to use water. It started with water and it will end with water. And the Lord gives us a hint of this from the very beginning. Having Moses, the deliverer, placed into the water, into the river, in an ark, the same word, covered with pitch, same word. A deliverer, a deliverance through water. Moses would be put in an ark and he would be drawn out by none other than Pharaoh's daughter. The killers will care. The murderers will nurse. Oh, But it's even better. Moses' sister sees this and in a timely fashion says, "Would you like me to find a nurse among the Hebrews?" Because this is obviously a Hebrew baby. And yes, they ended up employing Moses' mother to nurse him. It started with water. It will end with water. Throwing little boys into the water, the Lord will cause the water to fall upon Pharaoh. Oh, but plague number one also included water. 10 plagues. The first one, water turned to blood. Yes, the fish died and it stunk. There was no getting away from this. The land of Egypt reeked because the fish could not live. The shoreline covered with fish, the air filled with a stench. And what does Pharaoh's magicians do? What do they do? They say, "We can do that." Really? Have you ever noticed, by the way, how foolish sin is? How foolish rebellion against the Lord is? Moses lifts his staff over the water of Nile, over the ponds of water, over various places in Egypt, and the water turns to blood, and the magicians say, "We can do that." So they do the same, some kind of trick. And more water turns to blood. That's brilliant. The second plague, frogs. Frogs upon the land, all over the place. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say the frogs will be in your bedroom. They're actually going to be in your bed. How do you like that? "Honey, can you get the frogs out of the room?" "Sure, got them out." They throw the sheets back. There's more frogs all over the place. What do Pharaoh's magicians do? They say, "We can do that too," as if we don't have enough frogs. Then it starts with the small, you could call them no-see-ums. You've been out there, I remember as a little boy rolling in the grass, and the next thing you know, I don't know, what was it? Something in the grass, or is there something because of the grass, or was there a little... Then the next plague, lice. Some call them gnats. You see them when you're focusing upon them. Starts small. Then the swarms get larger, the swarms of flies. You can hear them. Usually the gnats, you can't hear. Lice, I can't hear them. But you can feel them, and when you pay attention, then you can see them. What is this? Out here, the chiggers, some of the little boys out running through the woods, and at night you pull the sock down and focus, there's a little speck there. Well, after the lice and the gnats come the swarms of flies, which you can hear. Then we go to the bigger created animals. The next plague is upon the cattle. The cattle begin to die. A plague, a pestilence falls upon the cattle. And imagine the smell there. Our food source is now being depleted. After this, we go small again to the ash of a fire. Moses takes some of the ashes. And just recently, I cleaned out the fireplace. It's amazing. Just a slight move of the broom at the end. Difficult when you're taking an old, cold, dead log and you accidentally drop it on the heap of ashes. Moses to take ashes and they're to be cast into the air. You can see it, but you can't see it. They're there, but it's hard to grab. You can't grab the ashes, and so they tend to fall and they smear. And what happens? Boils pop out, bodily problems. You want to stay in the sky? Then ice and fire fall. Hail and fire next. Plants are being decimated. Cattle had been falling over. Now the plants are being ripped apart by the hail. And the lightning. How many fires broke out? The whole time, Pharaoh, "Will you listen to the Lord?" Who's the Lord that I should pay attention to Him? than the locusts. Consuming locusts, eating the rest of the fruit, the vegetation. And you can hear the locusts when they come in. You can actually see the sky become darkened. There are historical events of locust swarms in which it looks like noonday turns to night. Oh, and that's a hint of what's to come, because darkness is going to come next. As if the locusts weren't enough, the locusts swarm, and you can even hear them chewing. Will you let my people go? Who's the Lord? Oh, and then darkness. Darkness in all the land except for in the area where the Hebrews lived. And people say, that's ridiculous. Really? The Lord is making a distinction. People say, how is that even possible? If it's dark, it's dark. Oh, well then maybe there's fire in their dwellings, and fire does not start in the Egyptian dwellings. Those are the nine, but there's a tenth one to come. It's the worst of all. It's the death of the firstborn. How hard can you be as a leader to see, you know what, the waters became blood, and it's the fish stink. The frogs we can deal with because they left. And then the little bugs, and then the bigger bugs, and then our cattle. But don't go touching my family. Don't touch my firstborn. This tenth plague, this death of the firstborn in Egypt, this is what we see. It is a judgment. We see that a distinction is being made, as with the darkness. Some had darkness, some had light. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog even move its tongue. A dog's not even going to lick or slurp or bark. Not even against a man or a beast, so that you may know that Yahweh, whom Pharaoh won't acknowledge, does indeed make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. He makes a distinction between those who are circumcised and those who are not. He makes a distinction between the baptized and the non-baptized. I can control the dogs as well as the darkness. The Lord does this to provide for His people. And the Lord does this to accomplish deliverance. Pharaoh won't let you go. I will take care of that. So the Passover. We've read about it. We've heard it. The Passover can be taken in at least two ways. The Passover can be seen as destruction. The Passover can be seen as deliverance. And the firstborn are involved in either. In destruction. In one sense, the Passover, here's what happened. The Lord passed over in judgment as He passed through the land of Egypt. It was a dark time. Midnight is what the Lord says. And when the Lord passed through the land of Egypt, death was falling upon the firstborn of Pharaoh's household and upon those whom Pharaoh placed in prison, upon servants, and upon the workers, and even upon the animals. Firstborn puppy, dead. Firstborn lamb, dead. Firstborn ox, dead. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, because I am the Lord. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne, he's not exempt, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon. This person's imprisoned. His children are out there. Even they die. And all the firstborn of the livestock. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one who was dead. Passover can be seen as destruction. Passover can also be seen as deliverance. And this is the basic meaning of the Passover. Passover basically means deliverance, being kept safe, protected, being passed over in mercy and not being put to death. the children of Israel were instructed to take some of the blood of the Passover lamb and smear it on the doorposts of their dwellings. This is what the Lord says. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. What if the children of Israel did not apply the blood to the door? What would happen to their firstborn? What if they didn't obey the word of the Lord? All the firstborn in the land were targets, potential targets. All of them, in Egypt and in Israel. Who would do what the Lord asked? Pharaoh and Egypt have already said, "Who's the Lord? I'm not going to do that." Israel says, "We'll do that." So they apply blood. And the Lord passes over. So Passover can be seen in the two senses here. Death. There's going to be bloodshed and destruction, or life, because blood is shown, and deliverance. Passover can be seen as destruction or deliverance. Oh, now, with regard to the firstborn, destruction came upon the literal firstborn of Egypt, firstborn child, firstborn animal, literal firstborn. If you don't do what I say, your firstborn is going to die. You're guilty. You're guilty. The firstborn must die if you're guilty. But with regard to Israel, whom the Lord calls firstborn, you know what happens? Deliverance comes to the Lord's firstborn. Israel is delivered from death because they are loved. They are beloved. So the firstborn in the Exodus story concerns the guilty and the beloved. Those who bore guilt and those who are beloved. And if we're going to understand anything about the firstborn in the Bible, we need to see this as well. Now, in seeing that the whole of the Scriptures speak of Jesus, and seeing that Jesus is called firstborn literally and theologically, He is Mary's firstborn child, and He is the firstborn in every sense of the word. Firstborn among many brethren, firstborn of all creation, firstborn among from the dead. When we come to the Exodus passage, this most commonly understood passage about the firstborn, our ears ought to be tuned in. We ought to be listening. We need to listen closely and lean in. Here it is. During the Exodus, there was death upon the firstborn. They bore their guilt. During the Exodus, there was deliverance for the firstborn because they were loved. Going many years forward from the days of that Exodus to a time when another Exodus was to occur. Go many years forward from the time of Pharaoh's slaughter of the innocents to a time when another fake Pharaoh, a Herod, would enact his own slaughter of the innocents. Going forward many years from when the little boys of that nation, of the Lord's firstborn nation, Israel, his son, would be targeted for death to a time when the firstborn himself would make his first advent. And he too would be targeted for death. Yes, the firstborn would die. Yes, the firstborn would die, and Exodus would occur. Deliverance, salvation would occur because the firstborn would die. They wanted to see the blood of the son spilled early. Herod and his minions. It would be spilled, but not on Herod's timetable. The firstborn has come, and the firstborn will take the judgment which is our due. And there would be weeping in Ramah because of a lot of slaughtered little boys, but there'd be weeping in the future because a sword would pierce even his own mother's heart, her own soul. As he was pierced through for our transgressions. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for Mary to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The firstborn has come into the world. What does the firstborn mean? You mean to say that there's going to be a judgment upon the firstborn? Yes, we've seen that from the beginning of the Bible. He died for us in our place. The firstborn died for the guilty. And that's exactly what happened in Egypt. The guilty firstborn died. But you know, we can't die for ourselves. The firstborn died for us in our place, and the judgment which was our due has been passed over. So let us conclude. Advent series of sermons, the Scriptures do indeed speak of Jesus. Pharaoh targeted the children. Pharaoh targeted the covenant children of Israel. Israel was the Lord's firstborn son, speaking of a time forward when His own firstborn would come into the world. And there's one final point to be made in all of this. Israel is my son, the Lord says, my firstborn. And when the second person of the Godhead, when Jesus comes into the world, when Emmanuel, God's presence, is with us, He is called the firstborn. It's interesting to note, and this with a peek to next week, that the firstborn so wonderfully and so fully identifies with His people. For then the covenant people were called my firstborn. Jesus comes into the world and says, and the Lord says, this is the firstborn. Without our union with Jesus Christ, there is no hope. He died for the guilty. And He delivered the beloved. We are the beloved, we were the guilty, and it's because our Lord identifies with us, taking our place. Thanks and praise be to the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks through Jesus Christ, truly the firstborn, the one who conquered death, submitting to death, taking the penalty which was our due. Now grant, by Your Holy Spirit, that our eyes be fixed upon Your Son, our Savior, the firstborn among many brethren. May we live lives that honor You, for You truly make a distinction between Your people and those who are not. May we live accordingly. Through Jesus we pray, and all of God's children said, Amen.